Yeah.
Well, so it's the beginning of Lent, the season of... It's actually within our Book of Common Worship, within our liturgical calendar. We changed the colors on our paraments to purple because purple signifies penitence and confession. So, you know, Christians have been around for centuries. And so we claim things from those heritages. So if you've given up something for Lent, I want to hear what you gave up. Red meat. Okay. So Nathan gave up red meat. Somebody else? Sugar. Well, why are you sitting next to your wife then? Aww. Okay, I'm done. See you all tomorrow. Okay, I'll give up humor for Lent. Did I hear an amen from that? Hortensia. Sugar. Okay. Coffee. No, that's too big of a sacrifice. I'm pretty sure Jesus was drinking cappuccinos out in the desert. Anybody else? Changing oil on your car. What a big sacrifice that is. Yeah.
Relying on myself.
Okay, relying on myself, okay. Sugar and red meat, okay. Interesting. So oftentimes it has to do with food because it's a fasting thing, right? Okay. Well, today is the first Sunday in Lent. Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, so that's the beginning of Lent. And we're beginning a series called The Least of These. In his parable in Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the final judgment and the judgment between the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the unrighteous. And he describes the situation where the judge says, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was a prisoner, and you visited me. So we've talked a lot about Matthew 25. There's a whole movement based on Matthew 25, but almost all has to do with immigration. And the more I've thought about it, the more I've thought, doggone it, Matthew 25 is much broader than just that one situation. So I thought we would focus on Matthew 25 during the season of Lent and look at each of these groups identified by Jesus, and how we can do a better job in service to these different groups. The one problem is there's five Sundays in Lent, and there are six groups identified. So today we're going to cover two, and then we'll do one each Sunday after. So today we're going to focus on the hungry and the thirsty. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And we'll look at the hungry and thirsty, and each week we'll look what the issue is, and we'll kind of approach it from a spiritual standpoint, but then we'll approach it from a practical standpoint as well. When we talk about I was hungry and I was thirsty, those are the most basic needs of all living things, right? It's not just for us human beings. It goes to plants, it goes to bugs, it goes to animals, fish, birds, and humans. We all need food. We all need drink. We all need water. Or we will die, right? So when we look at Scripture, we just heard this Scripture from Jeff, from Isaiah, and the people were seeking God. They were looking to God. They were fasting to know God better. They wanted to, they were asking the question, why is it when we fast and humble ourselves, God doesn't answer us? What is going on? God's not listening to us. And God responds and says, the fast that I choose is to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless into your home, and to cover the naked. It sounds a lot like Matthew 25, doesn't it? Jesus is kind of saying, this is important, and it's something that was important not just when Jesus came, it was something that was important in the days of Isaiah, 400 years before Jesus came. Jesus oftentimes spoke about feeding the hungry and caring for the destitute. When he drew large crowds, what did he say to his disciples? Will you feed them? And the disciples said, well, how can we? And Jesus recognized the importance of that. In our New Testament passage this morning, Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14, if you have your Bibles open, it's page 77 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. Hear the word of God. When Jesus noticed now the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Don't invite the people that are going to pay you back. Invite the people that can't pay you back. Don't invite the wealthy and prestigious people. Invite the poor to come and share a meal with you. It's powerful words to us. Now, oftentimes when we hear these sermons on these subjects, people get kind of, they spiritualize it, and they talk about the fact that we are hungry, we are thirsty, we long for that which is important and nourishes our spirit and our soul. And so we talk about the spiritual side of this. And in fact, even Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, said, "Man, humankind does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So talking about the Word of God as our spiritual nourishment, and this is more important than earthly food, right? In Samaria, when Jesus met the woman at the well, she was talking about physical water, but he was talking about eternal water. So he spiritualized it as well. But there's a danger when we over-spiritualize these passages, because then we don't do the practical thing that God is calling us to do. We step back and say, well, I'll bless this person. I'll give this poor person a tract. I don't know. How many of you know what tracts are? Okay, good. So a little, the four spiritual laws or something. And I'll bless them. Maybe not so much. James puts it this way in his epistle, his letter. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Oh, I am prone to do that. I'll confess it now. When I see somebody who puts their hand out to me, I'll be like, ooh. Almost as if poverty is contagious or something. And I'll kind of shirk a little bit. And yet God calls us to reach out to those in need around us. God calls us to feed the hungry. He was born in 1829 to a middle-class family. And when he was young, his family went into poverty. And at 13 years old, he was sold to a pawn shop owner to raise money for the rest of the family. His name was William Booth. How many of you know that name? Okay. Salvation Army. Later in life, he became a Methodist preacher, but he walked away from working in the parish because he wanted to be a street evangelist. And the more he worked in street evangelism, the more people derided him. They threw rocks at him while he preached. And he would write letters back to his wife about his bloodied eyes and things like that. And yet he continued at it. And one of the things that struck him in his heart was this. Here's a couple quotes. "But what is the use of preaching the gospel to those whose whole attention is concentrated upon a mad, desperate struggle to keep themselves alive?" We go down, we preach the gospel, we pray for them, but they're starving. They can't hear because of the hunger in their bellies. He wrote a book called In Darkest England because there was this trend about darkest Africa at the time. And he related England to the problems and issues that were going on in Africa in the 19th century. And in the introduction to that book, he wrote, "I have no intention to depart in the smallest degree from the main principles on which I have acted in the past. My only hope for the permanent deliverance of mankind from misery, either in this world or the next, is the regeneration or remaking of the individual by the power of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ." So he was firmly committed to the gospel. "But in providing for the relief of temporal misery, I reckon that I am only making it easy where it is now difficult and possible where it is now all but impossible for men and women to find their way to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sometimes a person's physical limitations, sometimes just their hunger, blinds them to the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're so concentrated on their physical needs. And it's important for us to remember both sides. We need to minister to the whole person, not just the spirit and soul. And Jesus calls us to do that in Matthew 25. So for a realistic view, we must be smart. Now, when I started it here at this church 17 years ago, there was a homeless Christian fellowship that met here. They started probably 5 years before I got here. And at that time in Santa Ana, that was a very meaningful ministry, right? Because there were lots of homeless people and there were not a lot of feeding programs. So every Sunday afternoon, they would provide an opportunity for homeless people to come to McFarland Hall. They provided a full dinner for them and they provided spiritual nourishment as well. They gave a message. And that group grew to be 50, 60 more people than that. It was a fairly large group. What has happened since I have been here, in my generation, the churches in the suburbs have become aware of the needs in downtown Santa Ana, and so more and more churches were coming in and helping those who were living without homes. And it's become a problem, right? I was talking to people a few months ago, and they were saying that for a while, a couple years ago, the homeless population were getting 7 meals a day. Church groups would show up, they'd provide food. Literally, when the people had not even finished one meal, they'd look up and see a group coming, and they'd take the food that was not yet finished and throw it into the bushes so they could be ready for the next group. And what happened with that? Well, what happens when you have food in the bushes? Rats. More rats came, more bacteria. People were getting sick, badly sick. So we have to be smart in how we reach out to people in need, right? We can't just go down and, I'm here to bless you, and here you go, and God bless you, we'll see you later, and walk away and recognize what we're doing might be actually hurting. There's a great book called When Helping Hurts. I encourage any of you that have a heart for mission and ministry in the world to read that book so we can approach it from a smart attitude. That's why we work very closely with the Courtyard now and CityNet to provide, because they're working at the old bus terminal here on Santa Ana Boulevard. Just walked by there yesterday and talked to some of the people that are working over there. And they're providing a safe place to live. They're providing meals, 3 meals a day, and they're working with churches throughout Orange County to work with each other and collaborate so that meals are provided on a regular basis, but people aren't stepping over themselves in order to do it. It's a great opportunity for us to work together. So we want to be practical in our approach. Yesterday I was here and I walked with people from all over Orange County in the Prayer Walk Orange County. And we went down into the Artist Village and we prayed, and we walked up to the Courtyard and prayed, and we walked to the Civic Center and prayed. I don't know if you know, but there's still a camp over in the Civic Center in what's called the Plaza of the Flags. And so there are tents set up. This is not part of the Courtyard. It's a separate group of people who are without homes. And churches are prohibited from bringing food to this group because of the issues that came up in the past, and because it's not, it's breaking health codes left and right. And so they're encouraging people to move over to the Courtyard. If you have an interest in helping those who are hungry in our city center, I would encourage you go to citynet.org, citynet.org, and there is a link to volunteer. There's a group of women that every Thursday morning, they get up at 4 in the morning, they make oatmeal, and they drive it in and serve it to the people at the Courtyard. Every Thursday, that's just part of their thing. So there might be an opportunity where you say, you know what, I want to help, I just want to go down and help and serve as a volunteer. I would encourage you to do that. I know that we have servant hearts in this church, and I would encourage you to participate in that. Now, I've talked about the hungry side of things, but there's the thirsty side of things as well. And I know that our presbytery has been involved, but there are other places that have wells that are going into Africa and places that don't have water. I love the story of Tom Kramer, my good friend who's the co-exec of our presbytery of Los Ranchos, and when he first went over to Africa and they dug a well, and people literally would travel 2-3 miles just to get water, fill a bucket full of water, put it on their head, and walk it back to their home. That's how hard it is to find water. And he said, when you go into a village and you drill down and you put in a pipe and you put in a faucet, and he said the first time that they opened this faucet and the water poured out of this faucet, he said there was a little boy sitting there with his hand in the water and his eyes wide open. And Tom said it was like diamonds were coming out of that faucet. He was so excited about it. And so the idea of clean water, Bob, your son-in-law does this, right? He goes, so talk to Bob if you're interested in helping with that. His son-in-law is a Episcopal ordained minister, but he works now in Africa and goes and does wells and clean water over there. I mean, how basic is that? But how important for us to help people to have that. I mean, we take it for granted, right? Turn on the faucet, there's water. So those sorts of things. I'd hoped that Jason would be here today, but I don't see him. There's two other opportunities for us coming up. One is this summer, we're going to partner with Forest Home, and I put it out in my e-news, but I'll reiterate it here. We're going to partner with Forest Home and with Presbyterian Church of the Master in Mission Viejo, and we're going to do a day camp for elementary age kids. This is like summer camp in the mountains, but it's going to be in our parking lot. There's going to be a climbing wall. There's going to be a water slide. They're going to bring a mud pit in one day. It's from first to sixth grade. It's going to be an all-day thing. It's not just a VBS for 3 hours. It's 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon for 1 week, and it's going to be a blast. What they have said in other situations is they've said that kids are supposed to bring a sack lunch like they do for school, but we kind of feel like that might be difficult for some of the people in our neighborhood. So if we're going to have an opportunity, and this is not until July, but we will have an opportunity if you would like to sign up to serve 100 kids lunch, or maybe a group of three or something. That's, let me see, 100 kids is 200 slices of bread, a couple jars of peanut butter, and a couple jars of jelly, or tacos or burritos or whatever you want to do, and just serve it up. That would be great. So we would love to be able to provide that so the kids don't have to worry about it. Or there's kind of shame when one kid brings something great and another kid brings a tortilla, you know. So just what we can do to, so that's an opportunity that will be out there to do what Jesus told us to do, to feed the hungry. The other is that we're partnering with a young man named Jason Mercado, who was a homeless guy for a season in his life. He now runs what's called the Sweet Mission Cookies out of 4th Street Market. Makes great cookies, by the way. And he has started doing a biannual feast, a celebration feast that he does on Thanksgiving and then at around Easter time. So he is going to be doing it on Palm Sunday, and we're going to host it this year. Last year, he had 350 show up. He's already getting all the food and the donations, but we would love to have volunteers here to kind of assist with that. It'll run from noon until 4 o'clock on Sunday, March 25th. So I would encourage you, if you're up for doing something like that, to welcome people who are low-income people in need, to be able to do that. So that was your moment for ministry and your bulletin. We just kind of did that because I don't see Jason right now. So those are opportunities to serve and to continue on with what Jesus has said, because it's not just about, oh yeah, we need to do that. It's about really doing it and taking care of it, right? So now let's turn to our prayers of the people with Jeff.